Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Eddie Banks and Minister Tamika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is your host for today, Minister Tamika Garnes. Apostle Banks will not be on with us today. She has a presentation she has to do on spiritual gifts. Yay, congratulations to Apostle Banks. This is something that she started a while ago. You all know about the spiritual gifts because we talked about spiritual gifts on the show today. I mean, not today, a while ago. But she has a presentation at another ministry, and she will be teaching a spiritual gift to parents for their children. And so I just want to say congratulations to Apostle Banks. I see that God is opening up doors, and this is the start of her at a Banks Ministries where she'll be teaching, you know, spiritual gifts. So I ask that you guys just keep her lifted in prayer, that God will open many, many, many doors on her behalf, because that spiritual gifts, that teaching that spiritual gifts portion brings her so much happiness. It brings joy to her heart to see, you know, her teaching people, you know, their spiritual gifts, because, you know, some people think that something's wrong with them, and a lot of times it's their gift and operation, and they just don't know what that is. And then with parents, we can become frustrated with our children because they're acting a certain way, and we can't figure out why they're acting a certain way, and it's because their spiritual gift is in operation. But as parents, we don't know what that is, or we haven't identified it. And it's like once you can identify it, it's like, oh, okay. And then if you have the tools to know how to train that child, it's even better. And so, again, I just want to say congratulations, Apostle Banks. I know God is doing a great work in you. And, you know, just praying that the people that she'll be speaking to will be blessed by the information that she is sharing. Amen. All right. Good morning to each and every one of you. Thank you again so much for joining for another Heart to Heart. You know, we really appreciate you all, your loyalty to the show. We thank you when you chime in and you share, and it just brings joy to our hearts. We want to just thank God because it's, you know, He chose us to do this platform, and so we don't want to take any glory away from God because He chose us, and so we get our power through Him. And He, you know, we give Him the room to speak through us to say whatever it is that He wants to say. So thank you, Lord, for choosing Apostle and I to be a part of this platform to make you famous. And I pray that we are representing you in a light that you are pleased with. Good morning to Miss Joyce in Maryland, Miss Joyce in New York. Good morning to Prophetess Kim. Good morning to Miss Anita from New Vision. Good morning to Prophetess Dorn. Good morning to both Isaiahs. Good morning to Deacon Banks. Good morning to just everybody. If I didn't say your name, please don't be offended. But just good morning to each and every one of you. Today is a good day. God allowed us to see another day. He opened our eyes. And so this is a good day, you know, no matter what you're going through at this moment or throughout this week, today is a good day because God allowed you to wake up to see it. So we must rejoice. Even in those things, we must rejoice. So before we go even further, let me open up in prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Glory to your mighty name, O God, for there is none like you, Father God. We just thank you for a beautiful day because you allowed us to see it. You kept us throughout the night, Lord God. You watched over us. You covered us. You kept us close to you. You didn't allow any hurt, harm, or danger to come upon us, God. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing in this season, oh God. Thank you for the life, Lord, that you've given us. Thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, oh God. Thank you that you are continuously keeping us and comforting us and pushing us to do what you called us to do, Father God. I thank you for your healing. I thank you for setting us free from things that kept us bound and kept us captive, the things that kept us in shackles and in chains. Lord God, I thank you for setting us free in the name of Jesus, oh God. I thank you, Father God, that you are our Father that we can call out to, that we can talk to, that we can, you know, just share our hearts with and not worry about any offense and not worry about you being mad at us because we shared our heart with you and how we were feeling, Father, in the name of Jesus. We don't have to worry about when we share with you that you know, once we walk away from the conversation that you're feeling a certain way and you don't reach out to us anymore and you don't want to have anything to do with us anymore. God, I thank you that you are perfect in all your ways, God, and I thank you that you don't treat us the way we treat each other sometimes. Father, I thank you that your love is unconditional and your love is pure. Your love never fails. Your love is always with us, even in the moments where we're unlovable, even in the moments where we mess up, even in the moments where we're disobedient and we're just not listening to what it is that you're telling us to do. Father, thank you. Thank you for being consistent. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you, Father God, for even when we fall, Lord God, thank you for picking us up. And thank you for wiping us off. And thank you for just grabbing us and holding us tightly in your arms and just wiping out tears, oh God, when we're going through things that seem like will never end. Oh, Father God, we just thank you for who you created us to be, God, even when we don't understand who we are. Lord God, we know that you are doing a great work in us, and we have to have patience with the process in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. And so, Father, you are all that we need. You are all that we need, Father God. We don't need things of the world. Hallelujah. Yes, we may need people, but we don't need people more than we need you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You are our provider. You are our resource in the name of Jesus. Not resource. You are our source. Everything else is the resource. So, Father God, we just give you praise in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We thank you, Lord God, for things that we didn't see coming our way, but you saw it and you blocked it in the name of Jesus, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for even things that may have been going on in our body that we didn't know of, but there was something there, and you saw it, and you removed it before it was even identified, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you, Father God, that you are always with us. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the gifts that you have placed within us, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for the family that you have blessed us with. Lord, we thank you for our children. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you would just continue to watch over our children, God, our grown children, even when they don't make good decisions, oh God. And even when we taught them the word of God and they still decide to do things their way, God, I just pray that you would, in the name of Jesus, oh God, keep them. God, when they're in situations, let them remember something that they learned. Let them hear your voice, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let them hear your voice that it may comfort them, that they may make the right decision in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, oh God. There is none like you, Father. There is none like you in all the earth, oh God. And we just continue to praise your name no matter what. We shall rejoice in the face of adversity. We shall rejoice in the face of opposition. We shall rejoice when our storms come and they're wild and they're heavy and it just seems like we're going to crumble under it. Father, we shall rejoice because we have you. We have you no matter what comes up against us. Oh, Lord God, we have you. And so we thank you, Father God, And we give you praise, and I thank you for every life that is on, that is listening, even in their families. God, I thank you for every life. In Jesus' name, oh, Father God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, we love you, we adore you, and we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, well, we're going to keep up with what we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks. And today we'll be talking about Understanding Deliverance Part 3. I really pray that, you know, you all have been getting a lot from this. You know, our desire is to share and pray that people grasp this information and that it's actually being used. Even when we're sharing, I just pray that people are being set free even in that moment. And for those that will go back and listen, even people that will stumble across this show, they might have been Googling something and, you know, and something popped up and it was, you know, they saw the heart-to-heart and they saw some of the topics and, you know, they were like, oh, let me see what this is about. And they clicked on it and they began to listen and God began to do something in their hearts and in their minds as they were listening. So, you know, this information is very vital for your life. It's very vital for your life. It's something that you need to understand that even myself, you know, I'm learning as I'm going, and I pray that I never get to that point where, you know, I feel like, oh, I know that. Oh, I know that. Like, I know it all. I never want to get to never, ever, ever. So I pray that God just continues to cover me and keep me. I don't want to, that spirit of pride can just overtake you and, you know, everything that you, that God has done in you. If you're not careful with that spirit of pride, it will begin to take over just like it did Satan. So we have to be very, very mindful to always give God the glory. And also, listen, pay attention. Also, when you are doing God's work, the enemy, you know, will try to make you feel, you know, like it's you. And if you're not careful and if you're not in your word and you're not, you know, you're not making sure that God, you're giving God the glory in everything, he'll begin to speak and tell you that, you know, that's you doing it. And, you know, you're doing such a great job. And, you know how the enemy wanted to be like God. And so guess what? If you're not careful, he will use you the same way to make you feel like, you know, how he felt, you know, wanting to be like God and that he was better than God and, you know, all that other stuff. So even when you're doing the work of the Lord, you have to stay under his covering because the enemy will try to use you to step in that same vein that he was in and why he got kicked out of heaven. And it's all a trick so that, you know, you can lose your place and where God has you to be and in the work that God wants to do through you. So never, even when people are giving you praise, always give the glory back to God. Always give the glory back to God. Because, you know, people are going to say, thank you. You did a great job. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, people are always going to thank you. Yes. But you know that God is working through you. And so, you know, sometimes I say, you know, thank you to God be the glory. You know, I always give God the credit because it's not, technically, it's not me. It's Holy Spirit anyway doing the work. He just chose to use me. And because he chose to use me, I am grateful for that. Amen. All right. So understanding deliverance. And at any time, if anybody has a comment, a question, please press 1 on your keypad and I will unmute your line so that you can speak. Today, again, Understanding Deliverance Part 3, the purpose of fasting and praying and deliverance. And so, you know, this information that we are sharing comes from Bishop Tony Owens from the House of David Schools of Ministry and the School of Deliverance and Casting Out Devils. And so we often hear that fasting and praying should be done in regards to deliverance. And, you know, the question we must now ask is, what purpose does fasting and praying have when a person is dealing with deliverance? And so in order to answer this question, we must examine Jesus' disciples regarding their effort to cast out a spirit on a lunatic boy in Matthew 17, 15 through 21. And it reads, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." And then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." So prayer and fasting is vital to our lives, and is vital in deliverance. And so we see that, you know, Jesus said that if we only had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, and I don't know how many of you have ever seen a mustard seed before. A mustard seed is really little. It's really little. I remember when Apostle got some mustard seeds and put it in a little plastic baggie and gave it to us, gave it to the members of New Vision. And, you know, we looked at how small the mustard seed is, and we're like, oh, wow, like, our faith can, you know, start there as small as a mustard seed, and a mustard seed is really small. So that tells you that I think sometimes we think that we have to have this great big large and faith, and we don't. It just has to be you know, the size of a mustard seed. And when you speak to things, it shall happen. When you speak to that mountain, it shall get out of your way. When you speak to that problem, it shall get out your way. When that storm comes and hovers over you, when you speak to it, as long as you have faith as small as a mustard seed, it will get out of your way. And Jesus told the disciples that it was due to their unbelief that they could not cast out the devil. The devils respond to faith in Jesus' name. You must believe in his name that you will cast out devils. And so what did Jesus mean when he said that this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting? Why does prayer and fasting cause spirits to leave? What does prayer and fasting accomplish? In particular, what does the fasting accomplish? It accomplishes two things. The first thing that I want you to realize is that Jesus did not pray regarding this spirit, yet he told his disciples that this kind needed to come out by prayer and fasting. Jesus not praying directly about this spirit gives us a clue to what the prayer and fasting was to accomplish and when it should be done. The prayer and fasting was to increase their faith, or the faith of any Christian who wants to cast out devils. Prayer or communication with God always gives us an assurance that God hears us and gives us direction regarding what we should do in every circumstance. Also comes in prayer because it comes by hearing the word of God. In prayer, we speak to God and he speaks his word to us. Prayer increases faith because we hear his word, and faith can come by hearing God's word in prayer. And this is how those without the written word develop faith, such as with many of the prophets. Fasting strengthens our dominion over our flesh and thus increases our spiritual strength. The more you crucify the flesh, not just all food fasts, but from delightful foods and carnal things as a whole, such as television, the greater the spirit man or woman becomes. If you feed it faithful, the word of God, prayer and fasting does nothing to the demonic spirit. Rather, it increases your faith. So praying and fasting is not so much for the demonic spirit, it's more to grow your faith so that when you're in deliverance or like when you're ministering to somebody that has issues and they're wanting to be healed and set free, you're probably going to see some things that you may want to run from when you see it. But praying and fasting will increase your faith so that when those things arise, you will be steady. You know, you won't be ready to run. Fear won't grip you because you've been praying and fasting. You've been in God's face. You've been listening for his direction. You've been fasting from, you know, those delightful foods and television and all those things that bring your flesh joy. You've been fasting from those things. So what does that do? It helps your faith to be steady, to be firm. Your faith does not it's not on a roller coaster, you know. It's firm. It's like, okay, I'm walking into this right now. Whatever comes, whatever arises, I know without a shadow of a doubt that you know God has my back. So I have nothing to worry about. And so when that demon begins to speak, and that demon wants to, you know, get in your face or maybe be belligerent and just loud and boisterous, you within a calm voice can say, you know, calm down, the blood of Jesus. You know, you don't have to go, your faith, because your faith is in a good place, you won't be going back and forth with that demon. You'll speak and that demon must obey. Also, in an effort to understand deliverance, we must learn to accurately identify, diagnose, and evaluate demonic activity in an individual. To rid an individual of demonic spirits affecting their lives, we must know from where it has its origins in a person's life. Too often, people jump right into something without first trying to diagnose the root of the issue. So sometimes, you know, people will just jump straight into deliverance like they don't have any background on a person's life. They haven't had conversation with the person to, you know, make sure that they believe in Jesus Christ or if they're saved or whatever may have you. They just jump straight into deliverance. But if we are to function correctly in this area of ministry, we must become better deliverance physicians by diagnosing the issue before we begin to do spiritual surgery. Often the diagnosis is derived from the person who needs deliverance, the spiritual patient, or someone who is familiar with the person needing deliverance. And in the case of Mark 9:14-27, which says, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnash with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they should cast him out. And they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long will I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And so they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, oh, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And so just as in Matthew 17:15-21, You may have heard some of the same conversation in Mark 9:14 through, 27. You know, we have to have faith. And Jesus had all the faith. You know, nothing could stop him. Nothing could cause him to not believe or doubt, you know, who God created him to be. He was in it, you know, he was in it for the long haul. He was, you know, he's the teacher. He's the teacher. And the disciples was learning from him. And so all they had to do, you know, was pay attention and not make it about them. Don't make any of this about you. Don't make any of this about you. Because it's not about you per se when you're doing deliverance. It's about you allowing the Holy Spirit to use you. And that's it, just to use you, because, you know, we are the vessels here. We are the way in which Holy Spirit works through us. And so we just have to basically say, you know, this vessel is yours. Have your way. You know, that's the Holy Spirit is the only one that we give full, that we give ourselves fully over to. We don't give ourselves fully over to man. We give ourselves fully over to the Holy Spirit that he may have his way within us. And so when you're speaking to someone, you want to identify, diagnose, and evaluate demonic activity because, you know, sometimes people don't understand, you know, what's going on within them and why they were reacting and why they're going through certain things. And so you want that person to be able to understand what it is that's going on. Just like for someone who was raped, you know, a female that was raped or molested, sometimes what comes from that is sexual, you'll have a sexual spirit, lust, and, you know, it's just a lot of sexual demonic activity that may come from being raped or molested. And so you may see this in her. You may see that, you know, she sleeps with a lot of people. None of her relationships last. It's one guy after another guy after another guy, or she could be a prostitute. And so, you know, you want to identify those things first and get some background information as to why she may have chosen to been a prostitute or a stripper, or why she chooses to sleep with so many men. You know, get the background information, because you want to make sure that you are dealing with the correct spirit and that you are identifying the correct spirit and making sure that you are calling out and diagnosing the correct spirit, because, you know, you want to make sure that because, you know how many of them hide. You want to make sure that you are calling out the correct spirit. So you want to take the time to sit and talk to somebody, talk to the person, get background information, have them do like what is it called? An evaluation about their childhood, about, you know, who their parents are, what they may have experienced in life, and, you know, and I sometimes you'll be in a deliverance service, and you may not see the minister like saying, okay, well, what is your that's sometimes that's like on a private end where you're able to sit down and speak to someone, but in a deliverance service you might see where the minister or the pastor may something to a person, and you'll just see that person start crying and, you know, bawling. They may fall on the floor. They may start screaming. And that's because at that moment, the Holy Spirit, through that person, identified something that they was dealing with. And so somebody can, you know, get deliverance right then and there. But if you're doing like a questionnaire, sometimes, you know, we've done a questionnaire with someone and they've answered all these questions. And so it prepares us to help them when it comes to when we have the deliverance sessions with that person. So through this description, Mark 9:14-27, the father of this boy or young man revealed to Jesus what was happening with his son, thus giving Jesus the necessary information to evaluate and diagnose the person, causing him, Jesus, to come to the conclusion that it was a demonic spirit that needed to be expelled or exorcised. As with any physician, Jesus asked a question to better evaluate the circumstances. So that's very important. So, you know, sometimes you may have that situation, like I said, where you're able to ask questions, and then sometimes you'll be in a situation where Holy Spirit will show you something about a person, and you speak that to them, and you right then and there, that person was able to be delivered from what it was that they were going through. Steps to evaluating and diagnosing a deliverance candidate. When trying to diagnose the root of demonic activity in the life of a person, we can begin by asking probing questions that, when answered, will give us a much clearer view of the background of a person, thus giving us greater information to come to a conclusion regarding the circumstance that they are perhaps facing at that time. You could ask them, are they a Christian? And this will give you information regarding the grounds you can use to expel the enemy. If they are a child of God, then the enemy has no rights to them unless they have some area of sin in their lives. If they are not a Christian, then the enemy has a right to them through the doorway of sin. If they are not a Christian, you should explain to them that Jesus Christ died to save them, not only from hell, but also to deliver them from demonic entities. Also let them know that it is in their acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior that the enemy loses his rights to them. Another question is, do they believe that demons exist? It is very difficult to cast out devils that are in someone who does not believe that what you have diagnosed truly is legitimate. If they do not believe in the existence of demonic entities, then it will be difficult to remove the spirit. Doubt is very strong in its opposition to faith. Their doubt can negate the faith necessary to remove demonic spirits. Speak to them regarding the natural devastation that they see in society and its people while explaining to them the root cause of those things, which are demons. Another question is, do they feel they need deliverance? You know, this is a good question to ask someone because sometimes people don't believe they need deliverance. Often people feel that the issue they have does not need deliverance and it will somehow go away on its own. No doctor can perform surgery on someone who does not feel that they need the procedure they are offering. This includes the spiritual procedure that you know they need. So you have to explain to them that they have tried various natural remedies that have not solved their issue because their issue is not natural, it's rather spiritual. Tell them that deliverance is a spiritual solution to their issue, which, unless addressed in this way, will not just disappear or go away. So see, just like with the doctor, when the doctor identifies that a person needs surgery, you know, the doctor can't perform that surgery, you know, without you wanting it. So he can't just force the surgery upon you. You know, he can't just go to your house, pick you up, chain you in the back of the car so you can't get out, take you to the hospital, and perform surgery on you. You have to consent. That's the same way when it comes to deliverance. You can't force a person to want deliverance. You know, they have to feel that they need it. And at that moment, they may feel like they don't need it. And if that's the case, then you can't force it upon them. You can pray. You can continue to minister to them. And to that point where their eyes are open and now they see, you know, okay, it's something there and, you know, yeah, I do need deliverance. Another question is, are they willing to be delivered? So there are people who, although they know they need the deliverance, they yet are not willing to be delivered. And it could be because of shame, fear, pride, that causes them not to be willing to get this deliverance. And so you can ask them, you know, if they had a natural sickness in their body that was destroying them, such as cancer or AIDS, et cetera, you know, would they be too ashamed, afraid, or proud to seek help? And so you can let them know that demonic spirits affecting a person's life is a spiritual cancer that will also destroy them if not addressed. Again, you are listening to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. I am Minister Tamika Garnes, and we're talking about understanding deliverance, and we're on part three. If you have any questions, a comment, anything, please press 1 on your keypad so that I can unmute your line, so that you can share today. Thank you. Another question is, how long has this issue been affecting them? And so knowing the length of time that a person has been dealing with a demonic issue can help a person seeking to perform deliverance know the root or origin wherein which the enemy gained the right to afflict, possess, oppress, or influence the person, or if in fact that the person is being affected by demons. You can ask them of important decisions that happened when the manifestation started. You can probe them to see if they were watching or participating knowingly or unknowingly in occult activity during that time. This can often expose the fact that they may even watch things on television that opens them up to demonic activity. Knowing how long an issue such as this has been in existence is a key factor and should be explored by the person during deliverance. I do not suggest speaking to the demons to try and gain information from them, but they are employees of the father of lies, the devil. Thus, you should not put any confidence in what they say. So, yeah, they're going to lie. That's their job. That's who they are. Liar. So you'll never get the truth out of, out of the demon. So don't ask them any questions. Don't ask them any questions. And when we think about little kids and, we know that we may ask like, how is it that this little baby, how is this baby dealing with any demonic issues? It's a baby, they haven't done anything to open up sin in their lives. And you're right, they per se haven't done anything to open up sin in their lives. However, their parents could have. Their parents could have agreed to something demonic that maybe they didn't know, they didn't had no understanding that this thing was demonic, or maybe they were willingly participating in something that was demonic, and they opened up doors to their children, and yes, a baby can be affected by demonic activity, and a baby can be healed from demonic activity. What doors were open to cause the demonic issue affecting them? There are many doors that the enemy uses to establish a stronghold of oppression and or possession in a person's life. It could be a curse or some other area of sin. That curse could have come through the individual or their ancestors. It should be your objective to converse with the person and ask them questions regarding their behavior and activity in regards to things that you know are sin. They may not consider some things as sin, yet you must identify what you know is sin, which could be affecting their lives. Explain to them how sin causes doors to be open for demonic activity to occur in their lives. It may take time to do this because they may have to go through a list of their actions, examine their situation by asking them what a day in their life is like. Tell them to give you details of what they do throughout a regular day, even what they watch on television, listen on the radio, view on the internet, etc. When you find the doors, you can help them close it, thus giving them the opportunity to be set free. So, you keep hearing about what you watch on television. Yes. That's very important. What is it that you watch on television? You may think watching, what is that show called? It's a show called Lucifer. You may think that it's nothing wrong with watching that show because it's just a TV show. But when that show first came out and that was the title of it, I said, no way. You will never get me to watch that show. Just the title alone is a no-no. And people think that, oh, It's nothing wrong with that. It's just the title of the show. It has no meaning. You're making a big deal out of nothing. You want to be so super, super spiritual. You know, people will say all this stuff to you when you're trying to share with them what they shouldn't watch on TV. And, you know, that's the trick of the enemy. That's the seed. And that show, just the title alone, just the title alone, you know, don't watch the show. You don't know what what demonic doors are being opened on, you know, in your life because you're watching it. And all you're thinking is, I'm just watching it. Like, even if you feel like you're not participating in nothing, I don't even know what the show is about, so I can't even tell you what the show is about. But, you know, let's just say that maybe it's just a regular TV show. Like, they're not doing, like, seances and stuff and whatever on the show. Again, the title alone, that's giving Satan the attention that he wants. When, you know, people watching the show, that's his name. That's his name. And so, yeah, he's getting great satisfaction out of people watching this show. You're giving him the attention that he wants, okay? And so people may be like, you know what, Tabika, you so deep. That don't even make sense. And, you know, when people, you know, try to come against you in that way, you know, I just be like, okay. Like, I'm not going to even argue with you. I'm not, because right now you're being deceived. All I can do is pray that your eyes are open and that you don't fall into exactly what the enemy is trying to pull you into, and that's all I can do. I'm not going to sit and have an argument with people because of stuff that they want to watch on TV. another question is, do they enjoy the sin that is causing the issue, and are they willing to stop doing it? Yes, that's a question, a very important question. Do they enjoy the sin? Because some people do, even though it's causing the issue. And then, are they willing to stop doing it? After you have identified the sin that is the door that is causing that circumstance, you must then address the person regarding their willingness to stop. Some people enjoy the sin with its consequences more than the freedom and victory that they could have upon stopping and being delivered. If they want to keep committing that or those sins, then you will have no ability to help them through the deliverance. Even if you were able to cast out the spirit, they would have an open door to come back into the person with seven other spirits more stronger than they. Then you can find that in Luke 11 and 26. They must be willing to stop and repent for doing it to truly have opportunity to be set free. If they feel that it is too great to stop due to the mental assaults of the enemy that pressure them to commit that sin, then encourage them to renew their minds by constantly reading the Word of God. The enemy often pressures their minds by setting an imagination in the mind regarding how wonderful and pleasurable the sin would be. You must help them renew their mind through the Word of God, as well as sharing with them the consequences of the sin that they think is so enjoyable, including the ultimate consequence of death in hell and the lake of fire. So we probably see this when it comes to, you know, sex. Most people, you know, that's what they enjoy. You ask them, are you willing to stop? Some, you know, they look at you like, huh, I got to stop? Yes. If you're not married, yes, that you have to stop. That's what's opening the door to demonic activity in your life. That's opening up sexual sin, you know, lust and everything that comes, perversion, porn, you know, watching pornography and all of that, you know, that comes with that. And so when you ask a person, are they willing to stop, and they're not willing to stop, then you can't go forth with the deliverance at that time, because it says that you'll open, you know, there'll be an open door for with seven other spirits more stronger than they to come into this person's life. And so I know that that sexual spirit is one that people, when it comes to letting that go, that's one of the spirits that people have an issue with letting go, is that sexual spirit. Because you know why? Because of how it makes them feel, you know, because of how it makes the flesh feel, and so all of that. And people aren't willing to give that up. They just aren't willing to give that up. And so, you know, you have to give them time. You just have to keep praying, because a lot of people don't see anything wrong with having sex before marriage. They just don't. And you turn on the TV, that's all you see. And so people just feel like it's nothing wrong with it. And so until they get to that point where they're like, okay, enough is enough. You know, I'm ready to be pure, I'm ready to be clean. Then at that point, you know, they'll be set free and truly set free, and the doors to that sin will be closed. So how to cast out devils, excuse me, I'm sorry, how to cast out devils. It is here that we move from theory to practice regarding the expulsion of demonic entities, and the question we must now ask is, do we have the right to cast out devils? And if so, by whose authority? Yes, we do have a right to cast out devils, in which Jesus gives us his authority to do so, and it is imperative that we know and are confident in the truth of this fact. In Mark 16:17-18, Jesus gives us the command or commission to do such. It reads, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Also Luke 10:17-19 says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." So before we attempt to cast out devils, we must address the candidate's spiritual position as well as the individual who wants to administer deliverance. Are they a child of God? Do they understand the spiritual position of a child of God? Have they tried to cast out these spirits before and failed? And are they in right standing with God? I doubt very much that a person who says yes to all of those questions is heavily possessed, oppressed, or influenced by demons, or would not see results upon doing deliverance. At this time that you must preach deliverance to the captive, the person in which the demonic entity is afflicting, and remember, Jesus liberated all that were possessed with the devil. Jesus rebuked Satan with a word. And so there are methods of deliverance. You can cast out demonic spirits with the word of God. You should always use the name of Jesus to cast out devils. When you bind and cast out demons, it is in Jesus' name, which means with his authority. You can preach the word and then cast out devils. The disciples preached that men should repent. Repentance removes the legal rights of demons to be where they are, and then cast out devils. Commanding unclean demonic spirits to come out, faith for deliverance while rebuking the demon, rebuking the spirits. And Jesus laid hands on a woman with a spirit of infirmity. And so, you know, the ways to find these scriptures, they're in the Bible. We can use these scriptures. Well, I'm not going to say we can. We should use these scriptures when we're casting out devils. We have to use the word of God. We have to, because we know that it works, and there is power in his word, and only his word can set people free. Basic deliverance steps. You must lead the person who's being afflicted by demonic entities in a prayer of repentance for their sins, which open the door to the demonic spirit to come in. You must have them repent for the specific sins that they have identified, as well as any other signs that they may have committed. command the spirits to stop their activity in and against the person and to come out in Jesus' name. You can identify what spirits they are by the manifestation or thing that they do or cause the person to say or do. This identification will give you the ability to call these spirits by name. Their names are usually what they do. For example, if a person is causing someone not to be able to speak, you can say, I command this mute or dumb spirit to come out of this person right now in Jesus' name. Also, that you use scripture with casting them out by saying, it is written, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. So in Jesus' name, I command you to cease and stop your activity now and come out. And that's in Luke 10, 18 through 20. So if they have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then this would be a good time to do it. Some ways that demons manifest during deliverance, demonic spirits are pneuma or a current of air breathing. This should lead us to understand that this current of air must leave the body through some opening. So when a demonic spirit is cast out, there can be different manifestations that happen to a person. While sometimes it seems that nothing visible happened at all, they may just have a sense of lightness that may all that that sorry, they may have just a sense of lightness, maybe all that they will experience. In some ways that demons manifest during deliverance, they may begin to yawn. They may begin to cry. They may burp. They may begin to pass gas. They may vomit or throw up. They may roar, scream, yell, or have constant or relieving sighing. They may sneeze a lot or a little. They may need to blow their nose. They may begin to have heavy breathing. They may faint or fall out. Their ears may pop. They may have excess saliva in their mouth, or they may begin to spit. And so these are the most common manifestations. There may be a whole lot more, but these are the most common ones. Also, what are some things that hinder people from being delivered? There are some things that can cause spirits not to respond when deliverance is being ministered to them, and that could be because of unbelief, fear, unrepentant sin, active curses. They must be broken, a rebellious heart, a lack of knowledge regarding deliverance, unforgiveness, pride, shame, or embarrassment, especially when a person is concerned with who is seeing them in that condition needing deliverance, witchcraft or occult activity, anger at God, ungodly soul ties that give the enemy access to you from others, idolatry, etc. Again, the enemy operates where they have legal grounds to do so, and any of the above things gives the enemy those grounds. And how does a person stay free or delivered? So, yes, once someone is set free from, you know, whatever they were set free from, they have to make sure that they stay free because they can open the door back up to demonic activity. And so they must retrain themselves to live differently than they did prior to deliverance to keep doors closed to the enemy. The person should read their Bible daily, be quick to repent of sin, guard their minds from old thoughts that open the door to old sin habits. This should include being careful regarding what they watch on TV, what music they listen to. You must attend and join a good Word of God preaching Bible-believing church or ministry and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Stop hanging out with ungodly people and in ungodly places. And so this is why people have to understand what deliverance is, because many times they think, oh, you know, I can just be delivered from this and that, but they don't give thought to, but now I have to live differently. I can't live the same way that I lived before my deliverance, and that's because you're just going to open up the door right back, and you're going to be right back in the position that you were in. So, you know, and let me say this, that once you're delivered from, you know, your past or whatever experience that you've gone through, the sin and everything, once you're delivered from that, there is a feeling of
you feel lighter. You feel like something has left you. Like you just feel lighter. You feel like you released something, and so you feel better. You feel better, and so in my opinion, you don't want to go backwards because you don't want that heaviness to come back. And so you want to be mindful of the things that you do. You may still have, and listen, you still want to have the same family members that's still doing the same thing. They're going to probably make fun of you now because you don't do what they do anymore. That's because they don't understand. And a lot of times the enemy is using people to pull you right back into the same thing that you was just delivered from. And so that's why you can't hang out with, you know, ungodly people. And people will crucify you for that. They will tell you, oh, what you think you better than me. They'll feel like you're judging them. And you're gonna face that from people. But your freedom should mean more to you than what people are saying about you, because they don't understand, and they're still under the grasp of the enemy at that point. And so when they see you living differently and they see the change in you, that may cause them to want to have the same thing. So if they call you a traitor, if they call you a sellout, you know, whatever it is that they call you, live the life, you know, that God has created especially for you. Just live that life. Live your life out loud. Let people see what God is doing in your life. Let people see how God has changed the way that you were. And eventually people will pay attention to that and see how happy you are and all the things that God is doing in your life. And they'll be like, you know what? I want what Tabika has. You know, whatever God has done for her, I see that she's smiling now. She's happy. She no longer is arguing and mean and nasty and, you know, don't want to be bothered with people, you know, the way that she used to be, she's not like that anymore. And she looks so lighter. And so eventually those people will be like, okay, I want to be set free too. You have to let people see what God is doing in your life, because to them, you know, if you say that you love the Lord, but you mean and nasty, they question that. Like, is she mean and nasty? So that's how God is. I don't want to have nothing to do with that God. And we have to be careful with how we treat people when we say we love the Lord. They pay attention to us. They watch us. They study us. And the minute and yes, we all have bad days, but you still have to have that under control, because that one bad day could cause someone to turn away from God. That's all I'm saying. That one bad day could cause someone to turn away from God. And the goal is that people want to have God in their lives. You want people to be set free. You want them to experience the freedom that God died on the cross for them, you know. And when it comes to that point where, you know, it's for God I live and for God I die, and your family turn against you, you have to be okay with that, because your freedom, again, your freedom means more than that. And eventually they'll catch on, they'll get on board, and if they don't, you just continue to pray for them. That's all that you can do. But don't go backwards because of peer pressure, because of family pressure, because of friend pressure, because of the world pressure. Don't go backward. Keep continuing to live in your freedom. You'll be, you know, live in your freedom. It's more than what anybody else can give you. Amen, amen. So we've come to the end of our show for today, and I thank you all. I thank you all for, again, joining, and just praying that this information is blessing you and that you're sharing it with someone else. We'll see you. We'll not see you, but we can't wait to be with you again next week. And, you know, have a blessed weekend, an awesome weekend. Enjoy your day off if you don't have to work on Monday. And we'll meet you here again with more information on deliverance. I love you. Be blessed. And God loves you more. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life, Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.